And so if they don't win another game, they think if they win the Southern game, they had a good season. And because we carry a large crowd with us everywhere we go too, so a lot of people like that. And we like to brag about how good we are. And of course, that hips up. But it is a vista to the university, using the football athletics period to use that way to introduce the university to people who may not have known the university. Went through a period of 30 years, I believe it was, after Montel, we got Coach Peach Richardson in 1982, 83. And then he returned us to the glory years. Rivalry with Grambling has always been there because it's an intrastate rivalry. And we played Grambling a few times before 1948, but after then, we didn't play.
We are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. I had to sit down for this one, y'all. Look, I stood up. I want to thank all the Southern University football players coming into the studio today. Have an opportunity to talk to Joshua Trash Jr., second team all SWAC. Coming off that center position on the O-line. You're talking about Kendrick Rimes, first-team all-SWAC running back, and then Derek Williams, second-team all-SWAC on the defensive side of the ball, linebacker. But now, this the one. It ain't the two or the three. Listen, I don't even know if y'all know how hard I had to go. I had to dig. I had to go. I had to find it. And guess what I did? Man, listen, got to welcome to the Jaguar Journal one of the greats of Southern University, if not. He might be, your name is great. Nate the Great Harrison. Good morning.
Good morning.
Come on closer to the mic, man. We're going to get every bit of this sound bite right here, man. I can't even believe we was able to pull this one out, but we were, man. I got to shout out Coach Chris Scott. Coach Chris Scott, he the only person I think could have found you, man. Nate, what's up?
Man, I'm here living life, loving life.
I'm glad to have you in the studio, man. Listen, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm going to paint a picture for you guys, right? So everybody know I came to Southern around 2010. I'm from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, right? So I came to Southern, I transferred here, and as I start to incorporate myself deeper and deeper into the Jaguar Nation, learning about the history, I'd always known about Southern football growing up. My mom went to UAPB, so SWAC was always incorporated in me. But as I started to want to learn, know more and more about Southern, for a lot of people my age, Southern, as they got older, was the 90s. Pete Richardson, right? Yeah. Got to see the Pete years, the great golden years of coming through the 90s and the early 2000s. But before that, everybody who I talk to, and I don't care who it is, I say, man, name me some of the guys or who you think was the best. And the number one name that comes up 100% of the time, oh, Nate the Great. Nate the Great, Nate had, let me tell you, but you have such a unique story to you as well. I mean, you was this phenomenal athlete, man. But you got pulled so many different directions. But I first got to start, man. You from right here in Baton Rouge. Talk to me about just Baton Rouge and just you and your upbringing.
My upbringing is, I'm a Schuylerville boy, born and raised in Schuylerville. How does it feel if you know anything about Baton Rouge? I'm right at the back gates of Southern University. Grew up there. Got my love for football. My first love, believe it or not, was soccer, man.
My son is the captain of his soccer team right now.
I started playing soccer at about 5 or 6 years old. That was like one of my first sports.
Uh-huh.
And soccer like pretty much kept me in condition for everything that followed after then. Track, football, basketball, baseball. But that foundation was soccer. And my hat's off and my rest in peace to my soccer coach, John Knight.
How old were you when at that age of starting soccer?
I was about 5 or 6 years old.
And did everybody kind of could tell, like, man, that's a little athlete right there?
Not at first. Because we started a soccer team and first we was like, the only black soccer team back then. I think at the beginning we thought we was just playing kickball.
Yeah.
We had no clue about what we was doing, man. Just out there just having fun.
Yeah.
I said, man, this is my mama's way of getting rid of me, man. She sent me out here to play soccer.
And I'm sure, you know, kids, man, you got to give, especially soccer, it's a way because, you know, young boys, we got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
When you're a kid, you're a young boy, man, because even my son, man, listen, instead of just telling man, sit down, go do some hand, you got to let them go. Soccer is a great sport. It will wear them out. And like you said, the conditioning. So for you, you started out in soccer. When did the football aspect begin?
Football started maybe like about fourth grade. It was actually so funny because I was actually just walking to one of the practices, like the elementary school practice with one of my friends. They're in sixth grade. I'm in fourth grade. I'm just watching them practice. And I just happened to pick the ball up, and I started throwing the ball on the sideline. Mm-hmm. At that time, the coach was Roy McCastle, former police officer for Baton Rouge, also former professional player for the Houston Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
His son was a quarterback. And we were out there practicing. I'm throwing the ball, just messing around. And he was like, hey, kid, come here. Throw that ball again. He's like, here, wait a second. And he gave me a note with a piece of paper. He's like, take this home to your mama. Tell her to sign this paper. You come back out here and play football. He's like, well, I'm in fourth grade. You know, he's like, that's why I gave you the letter. You know, fourth graders can't play with the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave me the note. I took it to my mom. She was like, no, you're not playing football. Football's not for you. You know? And I'm like, Dad, sign this paper. My dad signed the paper, and the journey started.
Quarterback. Just, it looked like that was just you from the jump.
That's it.
Did you watch anything? Like, as you were growing up, were there any quarterbacks in particular watching television, watching pro football? Was it anybody that, you know, kind of persuaded you to be like, you know what, maybe one day I can? Or that was just all natural, just came around, just a blessing?
I think the throwing part came natural. We kind of found out I could throw and had a pretty strong arm. Like in elementary school, we had a softball throwing contest at Tanglewood Elementary. So we're throwing the ball. Everybody's throwing the ball. I get the ball, and I just sling it. Using coaches like, what the? Do that again, you know.
You got that a lot growing up. Do that again.
So he was like, man, we got to nurture this. This is something we can work with, you know. So he started to tell the other coaches about me, like in Central Middle and the other schools that I went to follow him. And it kind of grew from there.
Were you a big kid growing up?
Oh, no, man, like a stick figure. Literally like a stick figure, man. You know what? I actually didn't start gaining weight until, true story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a junior in high school, and I'm going on recruiting trips. Not really recruiting trips. People are talking to me about this university, that university. And I go to Southern University, and the quarterback at the time was Brian Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a junior or senior, a junior that year. And I come in, and he's like, so you think you can play quarterback? So you think you're coming over here to Southern University and play quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, boy, you too little. As kid. You come over here, we're going to break you up. That day, that motivation, I went back to Southern Lab right across the street. That was the first day I ever lift weights in my life.
That right there. That's a hell of a story.
From that point on, I started lifting weights, working out. That next year, I think I grew maybe like 2 inches, gained about 10 pounds.
That's when you bulked up.
That's when I bulked up.
Let's talk about that Southern Lab journey, right? You know, the Lab fam, man, listen, I was there for their reunion. Listen, that's nothing. No pride like that. Ooh. Southern Lab pride, man. Listen, them kittens are different.
We cut from a whole different cloth, man.
That's what they tell me.
Hey, it's like you're taking our school. For once, people looked at us like, oh, here's a little private school. They're going to do this. They like this. But our private school consisted of every neighborhood that you could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Like out of the hood.
Yeah.
We had people from Zion City, from Banks, from the field. And that combination of getting all these people to come together and be on one accord was beautiful, man.
Now, that's which one sports. Of them you out of?
I'm out of the field.
Okay, all
right. I'm out of the field, right at the back gate of Southern University.
Okay, the field.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what we call it.
The field.
The actual name is University Place, but the adopted name has been the field.
The field.
Yeah. You asked about it's real in the field. You asked about
that's where you was roaming.
And see that... It's like a pool of talent.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much talent back there, it's ridiculous. We had, I want to say, 3, maybe 4 generations of Southern University quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
We had Derek Gibbs, you had Norman Gibbs,
mm-hmm.
you had Norris, you had myself to play quarterback. All of us out of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You got major NFL players, Leon Seals and all those guys grew up with those guys.
And I can imagine a lot of guys who didn't make it. Oh, my God. Hell of an athletes.
Super talented athletes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a journey that it makes you appreciate. And the lab, man, it was like a big family. And if you know anything about Southern Lab, we don't have a junior varsity. Mm-hmm. So I literally started playing varsity football in eighth grade. By the time I was ninth grade, I was starting varsity mm-hmm. at quarterback. True story, get to Southern Lab, eighth grade. There's two seniors at quarterback. Derek Gibbs is one of them. Known quarterback, Russell Franklin, the other. And me coming in eighth grade, the senior. After our first two practices, that senior was third-string quarterback. I was second-string quarterback.
I talk about that competition. That room can go crazy right quick.
Oh, my God. When I tell you it was competition, it was healthy competition.
Yeah, yeah.
And our coaches groomed us. So like I say, my hat's off to Coach Porter and Coach Perkins. Because it was like me, I was a student of the game. Mm-hmm. They made sure of that. You learn the defense. You learn the offense. You learn. As a quarterback, we had to know everything that everybody on the field was doing. Mm-hmm. So if the lineman needed a block and scheme, we can tell him what his scheme is. The running back, where to go, the receiver, what route to run. You always had to be in contact. And then, like, Coach Porter, Coach Perkins, make sure you learn how to read defenses. And so if you're a student in the game and you learn to read defenses, it doesn't matter what the offense, I mean, what the defense does in your offense, because you know what you're going to do, and they only assume it. Mm-hmm. Are trying to figure it out. So if you learn to read defense, if a strong safety move over, then we come in behind him. If he comes up to the line, then we're going to go hot right here. So no matter what they do is wrong, if you're a student of the game, you get that comfortable feeling, and then you can play.
Did you play any other position at Southern Lab?
Yeah.
Talk to me.
At Southern Lab and at Southern.
Well, we're going to get to the Southern starter. That's going to be...
Southern Lab, yeah. Same thing. It was... I played receiver. We got to our senior year. Our coach was like, well, we have two quarterbacks. He actually came to Southern University too, Rod Franklin. Mm-hmm. I played receiver. Rod would play quarterback, and I'd play receiver. So we'd switch up like that. Also punted. I kicked field goals.
That's that soccer.
That's it.
That's that soccer. Look, that's it. That humble beginning, right?
That's it.
Let's get ready to do. Let's take a break right quick. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we'll continue this conversation. We'll start to get to the Southern legacy, right? We got the beginnings. Let's get to the Southern legacy. So y'all stay tuned, man. This is a great one for you guys. All right. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journey.
Darius Skelton has really had this wave of momentum for Southern.
Yeah, first-year player in this program. I love his decision-making. He makes quick decisions, particularly when running the run-pass option game. That's his specialty. He's been an impact for this offense since he took over as starting quarterback.
Well, Darius Skelton is a dual-threat quarterback. He can throw the football. He's very good at throwing the ball down the field. We're going to work on this spring, those intermediate passes, but down the field, he's one of the better down the field passes that I've seen.
No action. Skelton going for it all. Has a man, and hauling it in is Hunter Register.
And then when you talk about running ability, he has running back capabilities. He can go the distance. He has the speed to go the distance. He has the power, and he has the vision. And I think when you put that with a dual threat quarterback, I think he's the reason why we're so happy about this coming season.
Skelton feeling the pressure. Skelton eludes a couple of tacklers. He's still on his feet. Oh, wow. Oh, my. Little shake and big juke move, baby.
Being a quarterback, man, is not easy at all. It was hard being here and having the expectations to be the starter and not being the starter. It was overwhelming. Like, I was ready to play, and not playing when I was ready to play just made me kind of look at life differently and really think, should I be here or should I not? And I talked to God, and he just settled me down, and he told me to be patient. That's what I did.
Skelton, who started the last six games of 2018 for the Jaguars. They went 5-1. Their only loss to Alcorn State in the SWAC title game. Taking the jet sweep, and Skelton awfully good with his leg. Blitz. Catch. Register the receiver at the bottom of your screen. Nice grab. Washington. All who have had an impact here in the early going. Southern still. Skelton comes up for the third time. Taking the jet sweep, he'll keep it. A good lead block as he cuts it to the outside. Fake to Ben. Skelton will run. And track with him for a few yards here. The time, stepping up into the end zone, has registered. First quarter yards, Southern 121, McNeese 40. Preston and Downs as we begin the second quarter. And looking deep, Skelton for Register.
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.
All right, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to you guys. Hope you're enjoying this hell of a great show. Nate the Great Harrison, a former Southern University quarterback. Listen. If you mention to anybody this name right here, they'd be like, Nate the Great. Let's go to the phone line, right? We got CJ on the phone. Good morning, CJ.
Good morning, Perry. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. How about yourself?
All righty. Look, I'm glad to see you got someone there named Nate the Great, and he really was. But I'm just glad you bring a lot of the back talent that came in through Collinfield. It was really great. But on a sad note, I'd just like to say we'd like to give our prayers out to the Elgin Stewart family. He passed away last week, and he was a great kid. Came out of Capital High School, and he was a quarterback at Southern as well. So I just listened to your show and finish up.
All right. Thank you, CJ.
All right.
Nate, as we continue, come on a little closer to that mic, man. Come on a little closer to that mic. Let them people hear you. As we talk about this story now, you know, we're transitioning to the Southern University side now. You coming out of Southern Lab, and now I've always heard the story Southern never really recruited the Southern Lab kid, or it seemed like it was always hard to kind of get those kids to transition over to Southern. But for you, what was the deciding factor leaving Southern Lab? You from right there behind the campus to stay right there within the neighborhood.
I think my driving force was my parents. I wanted to be somewhere where my mom could see me play every day.
Mm-hmm.
And literally coming out of there, I had Florida State, Georgia, University of Miami, UCLA, and USC sitting in my living room with my mom and my dad. And I'll go on national television to say where I'm going to school.
So you did the whole big thing.
Yeah. Go on television to Channel 9 or whatever, and then I announce, hey, I'm going to Southern. My mom said it was just like a big up. He's going to Southern.
Yeah.
Why is he going to Southern?
Really?
Yeah, it's like, because at the time, mind you, Southern didn't even have a coach.
Yeah.
They didn't even know who the head coach was going to be.
Yeah.
But my mind was set, and my mentality was, if I'm as talented as everybody say I am, then they're going to see me nowhere where I play at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to play for the hometown people that I've been playing for all these years. And my mom and dad see me play every time I play.
And what year was this when you were coming into Southern?
87.
87. No, I was born in 88, so I missed that.
Hey, man.
I missed it.
Hey, don't tell my age like that.
I'm telling mine, man.
This baby, what the? Come here. Was I rocking you, man?
So, you know, you picked Southern over all of these huge name schools, right? And you bring your talent to Southern. Now, when you get to Southern, what is that football program like for you? What are you seeing as you look at the program?
Well, coming from Southern Lab, all we knew was like hard work. And we had the mentality that if you work hard enough, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, it's going to prevail.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to Southern University, they had the culture was everybody was working hard, everybody was striving towards the same goals. And we had big name players, man. Like, these guys were giant to me.
Talk to me about some of those things. Take me down a walk down memory lane.
People like Michael Ball played cornerback. You're talking somebody in cornerback that's 225, 230,
mm-hmm.
running 4.4s and 4.5s.
Mm.
We had Gerald Perry. He was like about 6'7", 6'8", about 315. Big Joe, about 315. We had monsters, man, like we played with. Like I said, some of these guys are so big, I couldn't even see over the line. I had to look between the line. I had to look between the lines some of the time, you know?
you look at the coaching staff, what was the, because you said didn't have a coach, what was coming out of Otis Washington?
Yeah, we leave it Otis Washington, and our coaching was, at that time, like I said, when I decided to go to Southern, they didn't have a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Marino Castle was named as a coach. He took over as coach, I think, my freshman year. And
what was that like when you got a chance to meet Coach Castle?
Oh, man, you meet the Godfather. Say, Holmes, come here. Now, I heard that you got this and this going on, but I ain't gonna be one chief on this field. I said, well, we ain't chief, we Jaguars. He said, well, hey, we ain't the Braves no more. I said, you's the coach at Alcorn, but we ain't Jaguars.
Oh, you had a little snapback to you.
Yeah, he's like, well, you know what I mean, Holmes. I don't play with me because I... Coach Kaz, I love him to this day, man. Rest in peace. But he was a straight disciplinary person. Like, you knew not to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what the information and instructions he give you. If you follow him, you know you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
His track record was proven. So, I mean, he came in and installed the discipline and the hard work ethic. And we're going to run you till your tongue hang out. If anything happens, you're going to be in better shape than other guy.
Yeah.
But you're going to be ready to go. And that was his mentality. And, he worked us, bro. Trust me.
So you come in. How long did it take before Nate, because this before the great, how long did it take Nate Harrison to instill himself into that rotation where you saw your name being called on Saturdays?
Before I got there.
You were already the starter.
Yeah.
See, help me out.
It was almost like part of the me signing.
Mm-hmm.
It was understood that I was going to start as quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and coming in as a freshman. And my work ethic, when I got to Southern University, it was nothing they could do but teach me the playbook.
Yeah.
I was in the best shape I could be and possibly be in, ready to go. My mental was there because Coach Perkins and Coach Porter had instilled the football culture. Like, you're going to read this defense, you're going to know this. You're going to know everything about the game and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to know your opponents inside and out. Their weaknesses, their tendencies, whatever they are, that's what we are on. And as we progressed through Southern, man, it was just like we had casting for a minute, and then I went into Gerald Kimball,
mm-hmm.
which was a totally different offense and a totally different culture. We started to throw the ball more. And that's when I started to, like, come into my own.
Mm-hmm.
The game started to come to me more as I started to relax into the game and started playing Coach Kimball's offense. It was more familiar to me than what we was doing with Coach Caston.
Mm-hmm.
We still had success, a lot of success with Coach Caston, but the familiarity gave me a calmness so I could settle down and kind of play.
What game did you transform in as you started your college career? Was it game one? When did you transform?
Game one.
See, that's game what one. I'm saying. Look, that's how you know when you got the great to you. It was from the jump.
From the jump. We played Alabama State.
And I heard you were supposed to do it all. Go ahead.
We were playing Alabama State. We were in Alabama. And they jumped out on us. We come back and tie the game up, but then they jump out, take the lead, and I think it's like maybe 3 minutes left in the game. My freshman year is my first game, and I never forget me, Denard Johnson, Elliot Searcy, his receivers, Wyatt Harris. Man, we marched down the field, and I threw about a 40-yard pass to Denard Johnson in the corner of the end zone for the win. And I was like, oh, man, there's nothing like that feeling. Your first game, your first win. I'm going to Disneyland. It's just the first game, you know?
When did the because you obviously know Nate the Great Harris. You've heard this. When did this start, you know, coming around? Was it still doing your playing days? Because, listen,
I was doing the plan. It was It was actually like we played Bethune-Cookman, I think it was. Like, and I dropped back to throw a pass, and I'm in the thing, the line, the line collapsed, and I got a guy coming from each side. And I'm looking at him getting ready to hit me, so I ducked forward. And when I jumped back, and the two guys hit each other.
Oh, man.
And I, like, made a spin move, and I threw the ball downfield for a touchdown. And the commentator was like, oh, my God, did you see that? That's Nate the Great. He did this. This is magic. And I was like, I just went with it, you know, whatever.
A Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Let's go to Chuck. Good morning, Chuck. How you doing? We got about 2 minutes for you.
Good morning, Brother Wayne, Brother Harrison. Hey, Brother Harrison, I remember you played. I listened to that game on radio in 1986 when you all, I'm from up in Monroe, Louisiana. I'm a graduate of St. Frederick Catholic High School, and our rival is a school that you face, Ouachita Christian School. And I listened to the 86 game when you all mopped the field with Oak Grove, which was a shutout. That was your Wassman got revenge on John Curtis and won the state championship. I grew up in the Wassman area. I watched you play at Southern, and that Southern team, one of your teammates is from Monroe. He's played at Neville, Charles Wright. He's now principal at Ouachita Parish High School.
Oh, yeah, that was the backup quarterback, Charles Wright.
Oh, yeah, he's principal at Ouachita Parish High School. He's doing for his son, you know, son went to Grambling. He's quarterback at Grambling on that 2016 Celebration Bowl team, Charles Wright Jr. And I remember you quite well, you and Milo Klein, Peter. I know you all came out of Southern Lab. Oh, yes, I'm from that time. Oh, yeah, you all, I remember you all went, Carl Porter, he mopped the field, he showed a Vic Dalrymple, legendary coach at Oak Grove High, what Southern Lab was about. And I remember you quite well, and then another guy was on the team from out of my area, Eric West.
I remember E. West, too. Yeah, that's one of the receivers.
Oh, man, I'm glad that you were able to come on, that Brother White was able to get you on to see the history. I watched you play. I was at the Bayou Classic. Now, by the way, I want you all to know, I'm going to land on this one. The 1991 Bayou Classic, that's when it was first shown on NBC. I was a junior in high school. I sat here at home and watched that game. And the guy who called the game that did the analyst was Broadway Joe Namath. I want to land on that one.
All right, thank you, Chuck.
Okay, all right, you all take
Appreciate
care.
Appreciate you as always, Chuck. Chuck, take all you right. down and walk you down memory it. Lane.
Chuck remembers some stuff. Though.
Let's get ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I have Nate, the great Harrison, Southern University, great quarterback. All right. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal.
It's On the Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White. And what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
For the first time in the 79-year history of the Southwestern Athletic Conference Elite Championship game determines the overall champion today. Live from Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, it's the champions of the East, Jackson State, taking on Southern, the champs from the West. Everybody, George Johnson along with Charles Mann, and I gotta tell you, Greg Baldwin said this is the way it's supposed to be, and it is. Number 11 Southern taking on number 15 Jackson State. Both programs have won three SWAC titles over the decade, so it's only fitting in the first SWAC championship game we determine the program of the decade. We've got a lot of offense out on the field, and yet this guy right here, he's gonna tell you this game's all about D.
It's always D. You know that.
Yeah, an all-pro defensive end is gonna tell you that. When you think about Jackson State, this is a team that is very potent offensively, but defensively, they've led the SWAC throughout most of the year. They've got the best player in defense in the SWAC, and that's Tommy Head.
Tommy Head. Get used to saying that name. You'll say it all day. He'll be all over the field. He's always around the football. He's the leading tackler on this team. He also has 5.5 sacks.
At one point this year, Southern led the nation in scoring defense. Then they ran into Florida A&M. They got a lot of guys out there that can get it done. But at the top of the list is DeMarcus Miller.
DeMarcus Miller, the linebacker coach, Terrence Graves, told me there's one word to describe this kid, and that is relentless. He's only 5'10", 285 pounds. He makes a lot of plays, though.
Relentless, appropriate word for our third member of the broadcast team, and that's Joe Claire, who's standing by down on the sideline. Joe?
Yes, indeed. I'm down here on the field capturing all the pageantry and revelry that is black college football. Birmingham, Alabama is a lovely city. This is the inaugural SWAC championship in their city, so they came out to have a good time. I will be covering the fans, the cheerleaders, shout-outs, all that kind of stuff. Back to you guys on top.
All right, thank you very much, Joe. You know, earlier this year, Southern beat Jackson State, a fourth straight win over the Tigers. But what's most impressive about Southern, they haven't lost the conference game in 25 outings. They put it on the line against Jackson State.
We look at the starting lineups brought to you by Western Union Money Transfer, the fastest way to send money worldwide. You saw the backs. Here's your offensive line. Damon Nivens is a first-team all-SWAC member. Defensively, There's your starting lineups for Jackson State's defense. Chandler, Tommy Head, Edward Reese, pretty good middle linebacker. Rashard Anderson is a professional prospect. And they say he will be in the NFL next year. There's your starting lineup. Brought to you by Western Union. Mark Washington is your quarterback. Destin Wright, the all-time leading rusher in school history, is the tailback. Jeremiah Todd is an all-SWAC selection. All-SWAC team on the offense. And look how many players in this game. Alone, Jackson State with Wright and Morris.
On offense, Kevin it looks Thomas, like Jackson State.
And Jeremiah Todd, and why not? They're the number one offense in the conference. These two teams have great defenses, and it's reflected by the all-SWAC team. I mean, four players from Jackson State, right. Four players from Southern. The punt is going to bounce around midfield, and it looks like it was fumbled again. It's loose, and it's picked up by Southern.
Another game here for SWAC. SWAC has moved his headquarters to Birmingham, and it is just a wonderful game. The excitement is in the air.
Benny's going to throw the football. Completes this in the game. Your guy, guy's still on his feet. Guy's going to go. Touchdown! Brian Reynolds will come in and attempt the PAT, which is up. And he's good. On the record books at Jackson State, this time, oh, nothing doing. And here comes your man, DeMarcus Miller.
Yeah.
Miller led the club with 17 tackles for a loss as Reynolds will set up for the field goal attempt. This one will be from 20 yards out. It's 3 of 3 between 20 and 29 yards out. Kick is up. Kick is good. So we come to the end of the first quarter with Jackson State leading 10-3. Ball is at the 31-yard line. Again, throwing the football downfield. Oh, and it's receiver Hayes makes the catch. See you later. Touchdown, Southern. And every time you think Southern struggles, they come back, they make a play. They've done it all year long. Kick is up. Kick is good. Second down and a yard to go. Again, they give it to Lewis. Lewis finds room. Lewis, still on his feet. Lewis making a move to the outside. Johnson along with Charles Mann. Southern trailed this football game 10-7. Then they reel off 14 straight points and they do it with the big plays.
And that's something that we didn't think would happen, at least from Southern's perspective. They've been able to methodically go down the field on people and win ball games, not the big plays. You saw the big play by Ryan Lewis running 69 yards, the nice throw by Terrence Levy. This is something that I don't think Jackson State thought they would.
All right, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I'm joined in the studio with Nate the Great Harrison, Southern University legend. Listen, if you ain't heard the story, well, I can't tell you ain't heard the story. Y'all didn't heard the story. I'm the newcomer learning the stories, but we're sitting here talking off camera. Let's talk about a story you was telling me about with Jackson State, right? And of course, everybody knows Southern and Jackson State. Look, that's a hated rival, but you... And the story of what you was telling me at Jackson. Now, what happened here? Because people got plenty of stories. This is a great story.
We had, all right, it was the night before. We were there. We practiced at Jackson State the night before. It's Jackson State's homecoming, so they have their concert lined up, and they had the two live crew.
What year was this?
This was 87.
Okay.
88, I'm sorry. So we had, they had the two live crew, and me and a couple other guys, which they encouraged me. I wasn't a bad guy. Rest in peace, Derry Brooks. Brooks, his one of his guys from his hometown played with Jackson State, too.
Uh-huh.
Like his best friend. So we went over there with them. We snuck out of the hotel room to go to the concert. And, look, we get back to the hotel room. I'm like, oh, we made it.
Because you the white winner saw the two live crew.
Yeah, like, yeah. We happy, pumped, man. We made it. Coach didn't catch us. Nobody caught us. So I walk in my hotel room and I'm going back to the bathroom and the coach is standing behind the door like, oh, so did you have a good time? He's like, you're not going to play tomorrow. I was like, oh, no, coach, hold on. You're not going to play. So the next day the game starts and I'm sitting on the bench and it's like first quarter goes, second quarter starts to go. And then my mom and dad's looking at me like, what'd you do? What'd you do?
And at this point, how's the game? What direction is the game going?
The game is, Jackson State is like punishing us now. I think it was up like 14-7 or 14-6 because we had the two field goals. And finally my mom or somebody in the crowd started hollering, we want Nate, we want Nate. And coach looked at me, Coach Kimmel said, I don't care what they want. You're not going in the game. You're not getting in the game. You're going to stay out.
So the guy, you got the crowd behind you yelling, we want Nate.
We want Nate. And then, like, finally he just said, okay, just go over there and start warming up. You're going in the game. So he put me in the game like midway of the second quarter, and we started to come back.
Mm-hmm.
We turned the game around. We come back. We beat Jackson State. And it's funny because it was their homecoming, but then myself and Aeneas Williams ended up with the offensive and defensive, both valuable players.
Uh-huh.
So we took their hardware home with us that day.
Ooh, that's a great feeling.
It's an awesome feeling. Because, look, then they, as the game started, they started jogging around the field, and they kept hollering, Nathaniel.
Oh, they was messing with
you? Yeah, they was like, we got something for you. You know, they just calling my name, just jogging around the field. You know, in the end, we got the last laugh, so.
That is a hilarious story because, you know, you got Coach sitting there trying to stand on his morals, right?
Yeah.
You're not going in the game. But then you get in there and you flip the script, the fans, you make the Jaguar Nation happy. Oh, you make the team happy. And most of all, you make you and your coach happy.
Yeah, we come out with a win.
When you had those rivalry games, of course, the Bayou Classic, Southern FAMU would have the longest non-conference rivalry of any HBCU. Yeah. But that was a hatred rival. And then the Jackson State. And then you got Alcorn right up the road. For you, what are some of the most memorable games? Or do you have that just one most memorable game for you?
Yeah, I actually have two. One, we played against Prairie View. I think I was like a sophomore. And
I wasn't even expecting you to go the Prairie View route.
We played. I scored like four touchdowns. Like, running and throwing. And it was like, that was like one of the games I remember. And I think another memorable was one we lost playing against Strahan.
Michael Strahan, Texas Southern.
Texas Southern.
Mm-hmm.
That game, he changed his number to my number.
Really?
He wore 11. He said, you see, I just changed his number. I'm going to be on you just like this jersey.
Oh, he talking to you?
We talked the whole game. Like
you and Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he made the pros on that game, sacking me, bro. I'm almost sure he made the pros on that game.
It wasn't one of your best days?
No, look, offensive line had breakdowns, you know. But coach was like, man, you guys got to stop throwing those lookout blocks. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, they act like they're blocking a guy, then they have a lookout. I said, oh, man, no. But they, that was my guys, man. But
And then you and I talked about a game versus Howard in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, right? Howard and Southern University, I want to say the year is 1991. Yes. They expected 70,000 people at this game. You said it was beyond 70,000.
It was 70,000 plus. It was packed out, standing room. And it was like the big rival. We're going to go against them. And the game was awesome. I mean, we went back and forth the whole game. We get down to like the end of the game. And like the last play of the game, I think I dropped back to throw a pass, and I was going to throw it to Carnell, but he wasn't open. So I took off running, and I jumped and tried to dive into the end zone. And if you let me tell the story, I was in the end zone. I jumped over, man. Ball's in the end zone, but they say my leg was down before the ball. It was like, no, you look at the replay, everybody's like the stadium going crazy. No, we're in. Touchdown. Yeah, that was a hard one to swallow.
Man, you know, you look back over there, man, and if for me, I'm so excited to hear these stories this morning because I heard so much from everybody else. But to hear from you, to sit here and talk to you, to lay my eyes on you and see you, man, this is another one that I have to check off the books, right? I've had opportunities to sit down with Roger Kadar, Pete Richardson, Aeneas Williams, Butch, you know, Isaiah Robinson.
Man, that look.
Yeah.
You say Butch, that was one of the guys, too, like, in my early days, like, fourth, fifth grade. He used to always come and talk to me, you know, and I looked up to him like, oh, I want to be a pro football player like him. I want to do like Butch, you know. And he was always at the schools, like promoting Southern University because he was a diehard Jaguar. Diehard Jaguar, yeah.
You know, Coach Chasm, before he passed, I was invited to come to an event that was out in Zachary. Some of his former players at Alcorn kind of knew he was on the back end, but they wanted to give him his flowers while he was here. So I went to a house gathering, man, and just had the chance to see the love that those guys and how he really was their father to them. You know, like they said, man, I may have not grew up with a father, but they're my father sitting right here on the couch. So, you know, and I've been able to check the box off a lot of guys, man. But this one right here, when I hear Nate the Great Harrison, man, this one right here, this is up there because I hear so many stories and people just was like, I don't know where he is. I don't know. Like, it was like when you vanished. You vanished, and it was like nobody knew nothing else but the stories and you're the urban legend. People make up stories. You know, they just come up with whatever just to hear your name.
It was like Bigfoot, huh?
Yeah, you know, you ever heard Nate? He hiked the ball to himself, threw it to himself. He got a touchdown, a passing touchdown, and a receiving touchdown in one play. You know, he went out and kicked the field goals.
Punched it.
Huh?
I was close.
You was close?
Like, Bayou Classic that one year. We had a hand in every point. We threw the touchdown, kicked the extra point, and kicked the field goal.
You did it all. That's in those stories because they said, man, he could do everything. They said, when you threw the ball, you can hear the ball whistling. You can hear it. You can hear it go through. You can see the vortex around the ball. As that ball is flying, whoever that receiver is better have some hands because he getting it to him.
Yeah, that used to be a story. A lot of guys used to say, man, you're throwing the ball so hard. But it wasn't that I threw hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like my follow-through. And I promised I wasn't throwing hard, but my follow-through put the spiral in like a little whip on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Doug. Doug taught me a lot of that stuff, too.
What was your campus life? You know, you Nate the Great. You the big dog on campus. What was campus life like for you at Southern? You know, Southern was rocking and rolling.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. You know, my college experience helped shape, mold me into the person I am today. But I wouldn't trade that for nothing.
Southern was a great choice.
Oh, what? Yes, indeed. Look, I tell you, I learned on and off the field, let me say. You take this guy who's totally green, coming from a private school, you know, sheltered. I didn't have a lot of, you know. You put in this environment, then you got to remember, like, you put me in an environment with older guys who've already been doing this college life thing and how it's going. Oh, man, it was so stories. Like, guys would take me out. Come on, rookie, we're going to take you out. We're going to show you how this is. Now just go. You my crab, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Farrington Johnson was one of them. Played receiver at Southern University, too. Him and Michael Balls and Maurice Hurst. All these guys, like, they really showed me around, like, gave me a lot of guidance.
Help you grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darry Brooks, they really helped me grow up and grow up fast. Because they started showing me things that I've never seen before in my life, you know. From girls to the whole nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was college, man. And those are the years where you grow up out of the household to now you're on your own. You know, you waking up on your own. The responsibility now lies solely on you. But within that responsibility, you learn about those distractions.
Oh, my God. And F. Southern is a great distraction school, is that what I said? And that's being honest, me being honest, because I almost partied my way straight out of school, man.
Yeah.
My freshman year, I buckled down and did what I had to do. And then, like, towards the end of my freshman year, I started partying, hanging out with this person, going out here, going there. And my grades suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend, my best friend, Roderick Hudson, would be like, man, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, man, every day you come home talking about you washing clothes, but you got somebody with you. You're talking about you washing clothes. Like, you don't have that many clothes, guys. Yeah. Come on. So, you know, and it had me on academic probation during my 88 year. So I had to really buckle down, get myself refocused.
And was that a reality check?
Major reality check. Made me, you know, my dad was always on my case, like, you know, you're here for your education. I don't care about the football. I don't care if you throw another football, if you do anything, but why are you there? You're going to get your education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was his, that's the most important thing to my dad. So football didn't really matter to him. It was like, if you get the education, you get that knowledge. Whatever knowledge you get, they can't take that from you. Nobody can take what you learn.
That's it.
Southern was good, man.
Yeah. And that's the beauty, and I think for a lot of people where you have that pride, the Jaguar Nation, where you see alums come back in droves for homecoming, the Bayou Classic, the big games, because it's the memories that people have that's long-lasting from those experiences. And I think a lot of times the outside world don't understand when they say, man, them Southern folks, they go deep, they love.
A whole different breed.
They don't understand the idea of what that is when you live in it, you're experiencing it, because listen, I grew up in Arkansas, but I knew Southern from afar. I watched the Bayou Classic like 99 or 2000, and I was at that game, and I saw the crowd. It was something that I could never turn off in my head after that point. It lived rent-free in my head, and when I went back, that's all I talked about. Everybody just, hey, you destined to go to Southern. So in my direction, it was just something. Then when I got here, I had those experiences. I had that fun, and it lives rent-free in my head to this day. But like anything, man, you young at that age. You, like you say, you got to live and learn the world. And it's your first time living and learning without somebody on you, father, mother, exactly. Auntie, grandma, telling you extra. You can tell me all that you want on the phone, but I'm the one in the dorm.
I'm here by myself.
Yeah, and whoever laid up next to me, yeah. I don't know, but you know.
Those were the days, man.
Let's get ready to take a break real quick. We'll come back and get ready to end this thing with Nate the Great Harrison here in the studio. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Stay tuned, more of the Jaguar Journal.
Watching the Southern University Human Jukebox, click here to watch more videos. And don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I am Perry White. Today is the Jaguar Journal. Got Nate the Great Harrison here in the studio. Southern University legendary quarterback coming out of the late 80s into the early 90s. Nate, you know, we hear all these stories and having this walk down memory lane. I got to ask you, are you still near the program, or have you kind of kept your distance away from the program and just kind of been in your own world?
I'm forever a Jaguar, so I'm still near the program.
Mm-hmm.
Even wanted to maybe venture off into coaching, like quarterback coaching or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little bit in high school, like at mentorship for a year. Wanted to really move over to Southern and try to coach there, quarterback coach or something like that. But, yeah, I'm definitely in the program, rooted.
Yeah.
Coach Wallace, I played with him, like my teammate, so that's like my brother and family. And so is Chris Scott, Coach Scott. So I support those guys as well as Southern University every chance I get.
So to be start to see you around maybe the games and the lot more.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you been going to the games and just be dumped off?
I'm at the games. I'm there.
Do you just be like incognito?
No, it's like sometimes I'll my wife says like I start in the game with everybody else. But sometimes by the time I literally make it to my seat, it's halftime.
Yeah. Cause everybody
I talk to everybody. I'm speaking to people that I see that I haven't seen in years, which is good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Fills my heart. Makes me feel good, you know? That I can reach out and talk to the people, and then I see them, and the fact that they're still doing good and God is blessing them is good for me.
You want to hang out with me at some football games this year?
Oh, man, all about it.
Hey, I'm talking about come hang out with me, man. Yeah. You get a pass with me. Let's hang out, man. I want people to understand and be back reintroduced, because I'm always about my generation and the younger generation of knowing who you are, right? I had an opportunity to bring a good quarterback to Southern, Ladarius Skelton. He's from my neck of the woods in Pine Bluff, man. And, you know, I tell you something. Y'all two stories to me are very much similar in terms of the athletic ability, just everything about it. That's my little bro. And, you know, I want to get you around and I want to hang out with you most of all, man. Look, just to be around the legend.
Anytime.
And, you know, to be at a Southern game, because Coach Richardson and I have formed that relationship. And I was at the spring game. Coach was like, I'm with you. Where you go, hey, let's go over here and sit. So, and Kadar, Coach Roger Kadar, he calls me almost every day.
Hey. Well, when you talk to Coach Kadar, you tell him Nate Harrison said
I'm going
to
call him when we get off of here so you can holler at him. He calls me almost every day.
Nate, man, what are you doing?
And he calls me PJ. What are you up to, PJ? My
That's
name
him. That's
PJ
him.
Is my son.
Yeah.
How you keep calling me my son's name? Oh, well, you know, PJ, I don't know. You're just, you know, so.
That's Coach Kadar, yeah.
I want to, man, when the season start, man, and me and you going to keep in contact. We're going to be around, man, and I want to do a lot where people can get an opportunity to where we praise and we show appreciation to our legends.
Yeah.
That's what makes and builds tradition and pride to a program, knowing where you come from to where you're going. That's why I wanted you here when these young guys were here and you able to hear the next generation, but at the same time, what I kept telling them, do y'all know who this is?
Yeah.
We gotta know that. They, you know, we have to be able to bridge that gap, because trust me, Bo Jackson walk into anywhere at Auburn, they know who the hell he is. Cam Newton walk in anywhere. Charles Barkley walk in anywhere.
Yeah.
They know who. We have to have that same sentiment of when you at Southern, when our greats are around, that these guys who are the new generation, regardless of whoever it is, that they know who you guys are, man. And I'm big about preserving that and continue to tell the story, because you guys have wonderful stories, and so many of these stories are being told by the people who weren't even there. I've been telling you all the time. Yeah. I've been hearing stories from folks telling me about you, and you like, you know, well, it didn't quite go like that.
Not quite.
Yeah. But I get to hear from you, but most of all, the people who love, the people who was yelling, we want Nate, the people who are still around that understand who you are, want that. And the people like these young brothers who was here today who may not know, I want them to know who you are. I want to continue to build on that legacy because, man, I think just from everything I've heard from every time your name was brought up, it's just been amazing stories. Now, you know, people tell me the good and the bad, but at the end of the day, regardless of the fact, man, people are just in awe when it comes to you.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? It's amazing. It's a blessing, and I take it in stride. But it's like sometimes I'm even amazed myself, like to hear people tell some of the stories or to say the things that they're saying about me. It's like, me? I did that?
You did that, brother.
And then for me, because it's been like, say it's been like a love. So it's like they say when you love what you're doing, you're not really working. So it's like I love what I was doing. I was like, I'm in this. This is me. this is what I like to do. So it wasn't like I was like trying to do all this or trying to be that person.
You was in the moment.
In the moment, just living and loving what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say like, oh, Nate the Great, they see that part. But
yeah.
To me still, I didn't see that. I don't see the great part like they're saying. I see somebody that was having fun doing what they're doing.
That's it.
And most important, somebody that hated to lose. I hated to lose. So it's like whatever I needed to do to win, that's what I wanted to do.
Well, man, I appreciate you for coming on, man. Somebody just texted, said, man, I got to get you back in football season when the season. You're welcome to come on anytime. You have an open door policy.
Hey, whenever you call me, I'm here, man. Wherever you call me, wherever you need me to be at, I'll be there.
Well, that's it, man.
I'm going to support you 100%. I love what you do.
I appreciate that, man. I love what you have done. I'm supporting you 1,000%. This is Nate the Great Harrison, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know, now you know. Southern University, great. A quarterback legend, just a Southern University legend, man. And I'm glad to have had the opportunity to have been, to, for you to tell your story. Is this your first time doing an interview?
First time with you guys, yeah.
Yeah, appreciate you, man, for telling the story, talking about your experiences. And for you guys out there watching, everybody over in Alexandria and everywhere else across the capital city area, be sure, go follow us on our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button as well as follow us on our Facebook page. Both of those are the Jaguar Journal. Be able to go back and share this because, listen, there's going to be some people who want to go back and hear this episode. So thank you guys for tuning in. Nate, thank you for coming in today, brother, man. Listen,
thank you for having me.
We'll definitely have you back. Mike, thank you for holding it down. And everybody from the Southern University football team, Joshua Trash, Junior Kendrick Grimes, and Derek Williams, man, congratulations to those guys making all swag. Hey, we'll be back next week at the same time, the same place, because always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Go.
Gentlemen, the Baseball is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223B.